The Reform and Redesign Subcommittee will come to order. Today is Friday, March 2nd. For the record, we do have a quorum. Senator Daley, you would like to talk about your bill again.
Try this one more time.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members. There are three things I want to cover this morning. In your packet, hopefully you've received two different PowerPoint slide presentations. Would like to go through the campus service cooperative set first, then the benchmarking set of slides, and then talk about the A5 amendment. So with that, if you could grab the campus service cooperative, that is the initiative that they have over at Minsku. And I was able to go over there on, I think it was Monday morning, and boy, they're doing some great things over there. Harmon Place is where the project managers sit. Doesn't mean that that's where everything is consolidated. That's just where they are located. And they're looking at process transformation, process reengineering, lots of different things related to best practices throughout their entire organization. They've got 31 different locations, I believe. And in the future, if they find that one of the best practices is located, let's say, at Bemidji State, that could be the location. I think I said that for a reason, yes. That could be the location for one of the shared service centers. If they find that Lake Superior is the right place for payroll, maybe they'll consolidate it there. There's no preconceived notion on exactly where it's going to be. They're open. They're in discovery phase right now. They're looking for best practices and leadership. Folks that are doing a particularly good job in a given area. So go to the next page. They like to use the term in the cloud. And what in the cloud means is out on the internet. Instead of it being in someone's email, it's out on the internet or intranet where everyone can see it, and it can be shared very easily, very quickly, very efficiently with everyone. And they are continuously improving their efforts. I'll go to the last page. They've recently launched a project with five business offices developing common best practices. And you can see the logos, what those five different locations are, where they're setting the stage for work to be moved to the cloud. One of the, just a couple of notes that I want to share with folks in that conversation that I had with the Minsku leaders, they are really excited about the perspective that the employees have. They mentioned the unions and the challenges and the opportunities. And oftentimes, as we're looking at this, workers are really concerned. What's it going to mean for me? And they said that our focus is primarily, as far as the cost savings, it's through attrition. So over time, as they find the efficiencies and people leave, they just won't rehire somebody in that place because they'll have created the efficiencies and won't need that additional person. So they'll achieve the cost efficiencies at the same time reducing headcount. And the union leadership, from my understanding, is very supportive and they're very excited. And the reason is because the employee morale is going up. Why is it going up? Because instead of being isolated in an agency or in one of these schools by themselves, they're coming into this team environment. They're able to share ideas. They're able to learn more themselves. And they have a promotional opportunity where they never had that before. So they're energized. They're excited. They're part of a team. And they're more innovative because they're seeing these other ideas that other people have, and they're learning and they're challenging themselves and each other and coming up with some really new, neat, innovative ideas. So it's a great situation for everyone. Let me look at my notes. They feel more empowered. They feel like they're part of a team. One of the employees found a new check scanning system procedure that she never would have. She said, I never thought of this. I'd have never worked hard to figure this out. But being part of this team is really exciting. And I was looking for ideas. I was looking for ways that I could be innovative. And I knew that it would be appreciated and respected and they would do something about it. So it just seems like it's a really good situation.
Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Daley, when did this process start with Minsku? And do you know if, because I knew that they were doing cooperative things several years ago. It sounds like they're on a new frontier of establishing a new approach. Do you know when it started? Did it take legislation to happen, or did they do this on their own? And do you know if there's a cost associated with this project?
Senator Daley.
Just a little bit of that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Bonhoff, members. What I understand is in 1995, they had 35 administrators. Now they have 19. They had a centralized community college situation and a decentralized state university and technical system. So with those various different organizational cultures, one a centralized and two decentralized, you're bringing together very different philosophies and experiences with people. And so throughout the years, they've had challenges and opportunities. And I can't give you the exact timeline for this most recent initiative with the Campus Service Cooperative, but my sense is it's within the last 12 to 18 months on this particular initiative where they're very focused, bringing these project managers together at Harmon Place and looking for other opportunities throughout the system to do kind of the same thing and similar to what we're trying to do throughout all the state agencies.
Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, a follow-up on that. The thing I really like about what you're talking about is that really is the next generation of redesign in that it's not either centralized nor decentralized. It's being flexible and autonomous and leveraging the opportunity to use technology, the cloud, so to speak, so you get rid of those fixed costs when you're using servers and trying to figure out how to share data. So I think it does sound like a model that while I know in our next bill we're going to discover you jettison my school district initiative, but it sounds like perhaps this might be a way to explore to explore how we might pick that back up in another and newer form. So thanks, Senator Daley.
Senator Daley.
Mr. Chairman, I will tell you that there, from my understanding, there was not legislation that was required to move them in the direction that they're going now. They did do an activity-based costing analysis. I don't know where they came up with the money. I would assume just internally, because they said this is a really important thing. We need to look at cost savings and inefficiencies and find where we can create some efficiencies and more effectiveness. More than that, I don't know. I hope that's sufficient. If we could, member...
Senator Sharon.
Were you going to move off of this, off the Minsku visit that you had? I think that it'd be a visit that I might enjoy making some time, too. I had recommended that to you because I thought that that as when the decision was made legislatively to integrate these centralized versus decentralized systems into one system called the Minsku system, and then to take many of the functions that you're talking about in your legislation into a centralized place, whether they have different campuses carrying out certain functions or not. But the concept of having back office functions done for all of the campuses is the concept that you're approaching here for the state, and that they would provide guidance or at least tell you the mistakes that they made so you could we could avoid in transitioning within a government business instead of another business that hasn't got the same number of stakeholders and interest groups that participate in a decision-making process. You know, the person that owns the company gets to make the decisions. So I was wondering if you had a chance to talk about how did they get from everybody having their own billing and their own accounting and their own legal services and their own tech systems and technology expertise to a system closer to what you're talking about here? And how did they make that work?
Senator Daley.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sharon, members, they are going very slowly, and they have not consolidated everything. They are taking one step at a time, one process at a time and looking at how can we do, let's just take, for example, payroll. How can we do the payroll function the most efficiently? How do the various different organizations do it throughout our system, which is best in class, and is there an opportunity to consolidate everything at that location? Maybe they have a great leader there who wants to be part of that initiative and wants to lead that effort and is willing to help shepherd the resources, the people, the assets, and the process reengineering that's required. They have not consolidated everything. The number that they gave me is there may be 15% along the way. So it's not all at once. And I'll just preview the A5 amendment. I am not suggesting that we do that with the back office function at this time. So just a little foreshadowing there. It's a little bit of a change from last week and the week before.
Mr. Chairman, this is an opportunity where change is actually an improvement.
Do you have more for us?
Thank you.
Senator Daley, do you have another set of slides?
I do, Mr. Chairman. If we could move to the next set of slides. NASAC stands for the National Association of State Auditors, Comptrollers, and Treasurers. And they have a benchmarking program. A company that they have used frequently is Hackett's. So if you see that name, Hackett's is the name of the company that oftentimes performs these benchmarking studies. We're not going to prescribe that they are the company, but they may very well be the company that receives the contract from NASAC to do the benchmarking study. So if you flip to the second page, there are many and different reasons for state governments to benchmark. As you see, I don't want to necessarily read every word of 1, 2, and 3, but let's just take a moment to look at number 2, baseline and future measurement for technology investments. We've made a great step forward with OET, so we're way ahead. We're not starting from scratch. If you go to the next page, you see all the different states that are already participating in these benchmark studies, from Tennessee to Arizona, Massachusetts, Alabama, New Jersey, Oklahoma, and an upper Midwest state, Michigan. And they're doing it in a variety of different areas. There are 4 different areas, and we're looking at finance, HR, and procurement. Since we're so far ahead, so far along with the OET initiative, our IT benchmark study, I don't think is appropriate and necessary at this time. So we go to page 4. The second bullet, as you look at the customized report, it says approximately 80 pages per function. So it's going to be very detailed. And it's going to talk about an evaluation of efficiency and effectiveness measures, an understanding on the use of best practices, a quantification of improvement opportunities and recommendations, and most importantly, prioritization assessments of those recommendations. And if you turn to page, it says 18, it's the fifth one. NASAC utilizes Hackett's proven benchmark process and tools. It says 8 to 12 weeks for the process from the kickoff to the completion. So just keep that in mind when we look at the dates and the timing in the legislation in just a minute here. And finally, the last page, if you look at the bottom, you can see that one benchmark study in their statement of work agreement fees in this PowerPoint slide says $88,000. Now, if you will, look, the slide was created in 2008. So the information's a little bit dated. Mm-hmm. So that may require now $100,000 to $120,000. We're still working on the numbers. I have a placeholder in the legislation, but if you could just be a little bit flexible with that, we're still working to nail down the exact number of what it's going to cost. So with that, members, if you could now take a moment to look at the A5 amendment.
Senator Daley, would you like to offer the A5?
I would like to move the A5 amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Daley moves the A5 amendment. To that, Senator Daley.
Mr. Chairman, members, as you see right at the very beginning, that $450,000 is appropriated in fiscal year 2012 from the general fund. Now, not being a finance committee member, and nor an expert on mid-biennium appropriations, we'll have to figure out exactly where and how we're going to get that money. And make sure, you know, as long as this is determined to be a high, high priority, I think we'll be able to find a way to find that. And you'll see in numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, some very specific...
Senator Daley, we had a question.
A question about whether it's necessary, and I ask the fiscal staff to say anything other than it's appropriated. Do you have to always indicate what fund you're looking at?
Yeah, we should.
I mean, it should be specific. So this is a regular form here. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Senator Daley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the question, Senator Rest. In Section 2, there are five very specific items that are detailed as far as what the benchmark report shall provide us, to include comparison of the performance of the state to peer groups and world-class organizations, quantifying those performance gaps of where we are and where we should be, uncovering hidden costs, identifying improvement initiatives for the state to increase efficiency and effectiveness, and finally, suggesting a prioritized ranking of those improvement initiatives. So that's what the benchmark report will provide us. And the concern that we've had is that we spend this money and it sits on the shelf and collects dust. It's really important that we take this study and do the things that it suggests, put them into place. And so instead of saying to Department Administration, now you must take control of these people and assets and these systems, we're saying let's look at the benchmark study. It's going to be very specific. It's going to provide us prioritization. It's going to give us efficiency and effectiveness measures. And just for example, in world-class organizations, if they do payroll at $6 per transaction, and we find out through the benchmarking study that it's $30 per transaction for us, we're going to see that there is a very clear need to make that adjustment, make that change, and implement those efficiencies that we will receive from doing that. If it's $7 per transaction versus $6, maybe not so much so. So we'll see what that is through the benchmark study, and with the prioritization, do those things that are high priority first. So then go to Section 3, there's a timeline to do these things. I'm just noticing now that I don't see September 1st as the timeline for the benchmarking study. We had that in the previous committee engrossment. I don't see that now. We may want to add that, Mr. Chairman. I just received this just as the meeting was starting, so I didn't get a chance to...
Well, Senator Daley, I see staff scratching notes on your amendment, so maybe we'll get some language to incorporate for you in just a minute.
So the assumption was that by the 1st of September 2012, we'd have that benchmarking study. That would provide the administration time by the 15th of January 2013, as you see in Section 3, that the Commissioner Administration shall submit a report to us, to the legislature, and it would include a plan to implement the improvement initiatives that were reported to us in the benchmarking study, and any draft legislation required to implement those improvements. And that's not a may if you feel like it, it's a must. They are required to do that. And then by January 31st, it gives us just over 2 weeks. Once we receive that from the Department Administration, we need to get to the standing committees what the Department Administration reported to us and how they're going to do it. And then we have 30 days after that, the legislature does, to hold a hearing on that draft legislation. So there's some very specific steps and a phased approach, a timeline, to implement and take the benchmarking study results and do some very specific things with it, take it the next step. So that's the major change from the legislation that we've had up to this point. It's not a requirement for the Department of Administration to take control of all those things. It may very well be, and it's highly likely, that that will be part of what this benchmarking study shows us. But we're not going to presuppose that.
Senator Rust.
thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Daley. I do have some problems with Section 3, not in providing a timeline, but in, first of all, in the B part. But if you want them to complete it, and I'm assuming that staff is working on a September 15th complete date, and this one took 8 to 12 weeks, and you don't have a enactment date, which then you'd have the ordinary one, which is
August 1st.
So if it's not effective until August 1st, then you're really only giving them 6 weeks. And if this is and so a couple of things can happen with that. One, you can add an enactment date the day after that it's effective the day after enactment. So if the bill moves on its own and you get a swift hearing next and it's acted on in the Senate and the House, I'm assuming, the bill is alive in the House.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct? Okay. Then let's say two routes. One, it goes by itself, gets heard. Let's say it's passed by May 1st. It's the day after enactment, so they have May, June, and July. That would be fine. If it gets put in, which is happens because it's an appropriation, it's going to get put in an omnibus bill someplace. That means that it's not going to be acted on by itself, and so whatever you might want an internal, you might still want to put this section when it gets to that point is effective the day after enactment, just for the logistics. So even if the total appropriations bill, I know this is technical, but
no,
this is
good.
A committee that we should be doing this in. To make sure when it goes forward in a omnibus bill that you ask for a particular enactment date for this bill within the appropriations bill instead of August 1st or July 1st or whatever. So, so that's one suggestion. The second one, and I really have a problem with this, is one legislature should not dictate to another legislature what it must or must not do. And it may be the case that none of us, Senator Daley, including you and me, get reelected. And here we have this bunch of yahoos telling next year's legislature what they may or may not do. And on behalf of that legislature, I object. And, and it is regular order for a bill, when it is dropped in, to be on the next day's list of bills. And in the House, the Speaker assigns it immediately to a committee, and over here the same thing is done. And I would suggest that by the President, or I would suggest that that you drop B. I think having a requirement for the department is absolutely on point, that they have, that you ask them for a plan. And not just a plan in their report, but draft legislation. And at that point, you know, an interested legislator can pick up the bill and put it in and start advocating for a hearing. But to say to next year's legislature that you must refer this bill to a committee, I mean, well, what else would they do? And then, secondly, to demand a hearing in a In this section, I mean, this is not codified law or anything, but I just think that's, we just don't do that. And I would hope that you would accept an amendment, besides getting the dates right that you're working on, to drop lines 28 through 30. And if you do that, then I am an enthusiastic supporter of this.
Senator Daley, comment.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, I very much want you to be an enthusiastic supporter of this. So I am certainly open to removing that B section of, or B, to B, or not to be.
Whatever. We'll get rid of 2B.
Section 3.
Senator Daley, I believe what you're telling us is that 2B is not 2B.
Right.
Oh!
No.
Mr. Chairman, I move to delete from the A5 lines 28 through 30.
And before you make that motion, Senator Rest, it might be easier to simply withdraw Senator Daley's motion and reoffer this amendment with all of the changes
That's fine. We've talked about.
And just offer it in that form, if you'd like to do that, Senator Daley. That,
logistically, Mr. Chairman, that I would. Okay. I would like to
Senator
do that.
Senator Daley withdraws his motion to offer the A5 amendment and would now like to reoffer a new version of the A5 amendment. Steph, well, tell us exactly what that looks like, I hope.
Chair, Senator Daley and members, on line 10, 1.10, after shall, insert, be completed by September 15th, 2012, and shall. And then delete lines 1.28 through 1.30. And then after line 31, insert effective date, sections 1 through 3 shall be effective on the day after enactment.
Get rid of this A.
Oh, yes, also. On line 22, delete parens A parens.
Senator Daley, would you like to offer that amendment as described, the A5 as described?
Mr. Chairman, could we have Senate counsel do that one more time just to make sure that everyone has those
Absolutely.
Changes?
On line 10, after shall, insert be completed by September 15th, 2012, and shall. On line 22, delete parens A parens. Delete lines 28 through 30. After line 31, insert effective date, sections 1 through 3 shall be effective on the day after enactment.
Senator Daley?
Mr. Chairman, members, we're just in consultation here trying to determine what that the right date should be to have the benchmarking study completed. We want to make sure that there's sufficient time to receive the money,
FP.
Do the RFP, do the study, and have it completed. And so what I'm hearing is that September 1st, September 15th might be too early. Not achievable. And I don't want to set anyone up for failure. I want to set us all up for success. So I would ask for perhaps one more change and to have that date be November 1st.
Yeah.
That said, I'm not sure if the follow-on timeline is sufficient, if that needs to be
it
adjusted.
Is.
But
oh, yes, it is.
Okay.
So, Senator Daley, we'll have counsel repeat that to us with the new date that you've given us of November 1st.
Chair, Senator Daley and members, on line 1.10, after shall, insert, be completed by November 1st, 2012, and shall.
Colon.
And all the other changes we mentioned before. Senator Daley, would you like to move that version of the A5 amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I do. I would. I will.
Members of the, is there any other question or discussion at this point? I don't see any. I do have a note that Mr. Chuck Johnson wanted to speak to this. Is that still the case? No? No? Okay. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to speak to this amendment? Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Members, Mr. Chair, my name is Spencer Kronk, the Commissioner for the Department of Administration. I just want to commend the Senator for both taking it into advisement the conversations that we've had in past committees and on a offline, but wanted to really thank the committee for looking at both a smart and feasible way to proceed with this type of initiative. The one concern that I would raise is, and I believe Senator Ress already brought this up, was just the being specific about where that appropriation is coming from. And so that's the only thing that I'd like to speak to now. And, you know, I might even pass it off to Commissioner Showalter to be because he might know exactly how that's appropriated. But I just want to make sure that the committee itself is specific in, as they pass this language out, that they are clear on where that appropriation is coming from. But again, the spirit of the legislation and the amendment that Senator Daley provided today is a great step forward for where we want to be going with this initiative.
Great.
Senator Ress.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Commissioner, I want to be clear that without an appropriation, doing this benchmarking study is not feasible. Is that correct? I mean, there is no. This isn't a study where we could tell either your agency or Commissioner Showalter's to do the work and eat it, right?
Commissioner Crump?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Senator Ress, that's correct.
Senator Daley, Mr. Chairman, Senator Daley, I think we need, in terms of the bill going forward and who you lobby to make sure the appropriation is there, that you take that message along. If they don't get the money, they really can't do it on their own to the to get a quality product that you're interested in.
Mr. Showalter?
Mr. Chair, Senator, I appreciate that statement because this was actually something. I'm a member of NASAC, so yeah, I appreciate it when Senator Daley brought this up. I was like, yep, yeah, I know. And it is a very good thing. We've talked with the Hackett Group this spring, and it is the kind of money that no, we don't have available. It's a great purpose, but it is not something that we could find a way to self-fund, and we're certainly looking at that earlier.
Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner Showalter, if there was some kind of an assessment on each agency's budget, would that potentially be one option if it was spread throughout all agencies, given we're really talking about, something that is actually part of each agency?
Commissioner Showalter?
Mr. Chair, Senator, that you're going to end up having to find new revenues or some spending cuts, and that's, one way to go at it is just some kind of pro rata. I'd say one of the basic concerns I have out of that approach is, you don't necessarily know what you're impacting in the agency budgets, no matter how small. But the other part is that the funding source, this benefits the whole enterprise.
Right.
And you end up going to end up, if you do that kind of across-the-board cut, you're probably only going to be taking it out of the general fund agencies, and it kind of gets a little awkward. So just realize that there's some distributional aspects to that strategy that may not work the way you want them to.
Senator Bonham?
Mr. Chair and Commissioner Showalter, do you have an idea of the best place to find this revenue? Because when you look at it in terms of the whole, we say that about everything, it's just a little thing compared to the whole. And I know, in fact, you add up all those little things. But yet this does have such far-reaching potential to impact, the future structure of the enterprise. So given, its relative importance, what would be your recommendation as to where the money should come from?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Senator, I mean, I think that's the tough part of the question, because I think it's about, you know, incumbent on the legislature. If this is a priority, you know, then you're going to have to sort of say what isn't a priority. If it's a new source of revenue, if it's some other cut, you know, that's kind of the question. Is I tried to underscore extensively a couple of days ago, I think it was a couple of days ago now, at the forecast, is that all the money, you know, from the improvement, you know, was used to restore the rainy day fund and to start paying back schools on the school shift. And that was current law. I think that's good financial policy. It also puts the legislature and the executive branch in this pay-as-you-go mentality. So it's coming out of the general fund, but right now the general fund has zero balance to do it.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to just explore a different avenue for financing. And I'm just wondering if something we've done in the past might be a possibility here. And that would be what we did with the analytic technology last year, which was the master contracts and RFPs, and then the firm that actually was selected by that RFP, through that RFP process, actually provided the analytic technology to do the efficiencies that we were asking. However, part of that RFP process was that they agreed to be paid out of the back end, on the back end, out of the recouped savings. And I'm not exactly sure if this type of a benchmarking study would lead to that type of RFP process. And I'd just like either Commissioner Cronk or you to comment on that.
Sure. Mr. Showalter.
Mr. Chair, Senator, excellent question. I don't think it necessarily fits, but, you know, I appreciate you sort of being creative and trying to look at that. When I talked with the Hackett Group, and my impression of some of the work that gets done is there will be a lot of interviews. There will be a lot of discussion of understanding what's going on in the state government. So it does take significant amount of state employee time trying to sort of gather that survey work. They then gather some financials, and then they kind of have a back-end analytics to say, typically, if this happens, then this must also be true. So they sort of make some behavioral and financial assumptions to come up with the conclusions that they have in the back end. That doesn't necessarily lead to then say, oh, and here's your savings opportunity. What it does provide is some excellent management information, which would be useful to the executive branch, would be useful to the legislature to understand the cost structures, the relative expenses, and how some things run lean, how some things might be running not so lean. A long way of saying, I don't think it leads to immediately saying, here's the answer. It points you to which problems you might want to try to address. When we talked to them, it was clear, you know, this was more of a contracting basis where they wanted the money to do that and weren't particularly interested in savings down the road. Perhaps, you know, administration could get that kind of arrangement. I personally doubt it, but I'm not sure that this type of study necessarily fits to that.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, actually, your last comment was probably the piece I needed to hear. I know when I first presented the analytic technology last year, I was told, too, well, there are no companies that are going to want to be on that pay-for-performance so-called model where they provide the technology and get paid on the back end out of the savings. Well, once we put it out there like that, we found out there were plenty of companies that had enough confidence in the savings that they were willing to do that. So I'm not willing to concede the point that there might not be companies who are willing to be paid real pay for performance, you might say. But I don't understand this type of study well enough to know if it's feasible for that arrangement. And I think your last comment is indicating perhaps that it's not.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator, I want to leave it open so that if Commissioner Cronk felt it was possible, he could still say so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson. Certainly, you know, a lot of the pay for performance or kind of that model is specific to a type of service that's provided. This is really a management study and would not be relevant for that type of cost savings that could be seen up front. You know, I was just talking to Assistant Commissioner Matt Bailey, and he was indicating that perhaps further down the line, some consulting services, once we have the study in place, could be utilized using that financing model, but that would be further down the line. But for the purposes of this study, it would have to be an appropriation.
Thank you.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things we have to get better at is that when there are savings, that those are recaptured and reinvested. And So while this is relatively small pot of money, if there's something coming out of OET or some of the changes the administration's already working on, I'd be supportive in helping develop a model that said, we saved it, let's reinvest it and fund this. So again, it puts pressure on management and budget to find those savings and move that forward. But if we start with small things and have success, it will be easier to grow it into big things. And as we work on government efficiency, having that reinvestment model staked out early on is going to be important.
If I may, Mr. Chair, Senator, I appreciate that and agree. We're, in fact, right now working with OET to try to find ways to implement some existing language from the past legislative session and previous legislative sessions so that some of the savings from IT consolidation, as they're identified, or different types of purchasing strategies get leveraged and plowed back in to speed up the IT consolidation and facilitate it so that it works. It's going to be messy budgeting, so just hopefully Senator Rest is wrong, and some people will be here to talk about this again next session. But at that point, it's going to be for messy budget talks because, you know, it's like, who's got the money? Where is it going? Preview for things to come. But it is to that point of trying to make sure that some of those savings are plowed back to speed some of the efficiencies going forward.
Senator Zizek.
Mr. Chairman, this is just, again, along the creative thinking line, and I don't know if this will work, and I don't know if it would be as good of an outcome as the Hackett Group, but I'm from Hennepin County, and we had an agreement with the U to do a lot of research on different projects, and I know they have the Cura that has some students over there that do some work, and maybe this is something that the Carlson School Management has a project, and maybe it's not the whole thing, but again, if we can't find the money to do the whole thing, maybe there's a portion of it that they could look at. And again, I'm just thinking way outside the box, but it might be I don't know if the whole thing or if it's just not even worth it at all, but it's just, again, thinking outside the box that if we can't find the money, we can maybe find a little bit to have a professor supervise a whole student class project.
Thank
just
you.
A thought.
Senator Bonoff, did you have a question?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think, you know, that is interesting. And when we do the RFP, then, you know, we should alert them and maybe they would participate with us. I was just going to say that I do think it is important that we get used to understanding that you have to actually sometimes invest money to recoup money. And so I think this committee shouldn't be squeamish about saying this is important, it should be paid for, and calling on, you know, Chair Roebling to say this is important and this is a high priority, and we should not shy away from that. So I don't think we need to undermine what it is we've set out to accomplish as a committee by talking ourselves down from the very start. So I'd say go for it, let's vote and do it.
All right. Is there anyone else that wanted to speak to this version of the A5 that we have before us now? Senator Sharon.
The more we talk, the more we're going to talk, because things emerge in my mind as we're talking. The $450,000 that you've appropriated here, would you remind me, did you come to that based on going back to the Hackett report, the $88,000 or the or what you're saying is an increase anywhere to $100,000, $120,000 per benchmark?
Senator Daley.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sharon, it was really $150,000 times three. If you do the three benchmarking studies, and I know I previously said $100,000 to $120,000, I don't think it's going to take the entire $150,000. That's the top range. That's the top of the range. So if it does take that, it's appropriated. But it doesn't mean they have to spend that much.
Senator Sharon?
It's just the difficulty of having one of the differences between a privately owned business and the public is that this is exposed, and it's not in the negotiations in a private business. And I was just noting that just for this company, if they're saying their increase is from $88,000 to $120,000, that's a 25% increase in their cost since 2008. And we complain about increases in costs that are less than that in government. So I'm hoping we are effective in our negotiations for this.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sharon, as I mentioned early on, I received this just as I was walking in. So it hasn't had the time behind the scenes like a lot of things do. So in this next week, or however long it takes after hopefully we approve this and it goes to state government, I will continue the conversations with Senator Bonna, Senator Rest, anyone else in this committee who wants to, the Hackett Group, Accenture, all the interested stakeholders to, and where are we going to get the money, all those different issues. We'll continue to have those conversations to further refine that number.
Senator Sharon.
I'm just, the point I'm trying to make is that it's like I would never go into a business to buy a product and tell them on the front end how much I'm willing to pay for it or what the high range is of what we're going to pay, because it creates
Senator
disadvantage
Rest.
In the bidding process.
I think Senator Sharon's making a really good point there, but in other situations, Commissioner, I guess I'm asking, when you do contracts through a specific appropriation, does the enabling language say something like up to a amount but no more? But you can't. I don't know how you accomplish that when you're talking about an appropriation. But how do we say try to do it for less? No, I'm serious.
Commissioner,
how do we say that? And what is the practice in the Department of Administration in reviewing contracts for which there has been a specific appropriation in order to accomplish a project? How's that work?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, I'm going to plead my beginning experience with the state. There have been a few instances where I have experienced this, but I think your suggestion would certainly be warranted of saying, the appropriation is there, but up to that amount could be used for that study. And so ensuring that there's that limitation of that we wouldn't be able to exceed that amount listed could certainly be something that we could talk about over the next few days.
Senator Rest?
Thank you, Commissioner. Again, we'd go to the fiscal staff. Have we had that experience before, and do we have language that we use to say up to this amount or an appropriation, but whatever is not spent on the project reverts to the general fund? I mean, that would, if we had something like that, then the companies out there wouldn't say, oh, well, we're only going to put in a bid for $450,000, because so they could try and get it for $300,000, let's say, and then $150,000 goes back to the whatever unspent portion in the contract goes back to the general fund. I think that tightens it up and maybe makes it more attractive to a group or to you or something, if we can do that.
I know sometimes we've used that language as part when we put a rider in as part of a larger appropriation. Say we make an appropriation mm-hmm. to the agency, let's say admin, and then we have a rider up to $450,000.
Maybe used for a specific purpose.
Yeah. Already appropriated their budget, so this is on top of. So I don't know. I have to take some thinking on that back to council about how we invest.
Mr. Chairman, maybe that's a little bit more complicated subject that can't be completed here. But Senator Daley, I hope you'll look into that so that the language is as tight as possible, and it's not just. Here's $450,000, come and get it. Or only submit a bid for something that costs $450,000. I think that's what Senator Sharon is saying we want to avoid here.
If I can get them to do each for $80,000 and it only is $280 or $240, I'm right there. Sure. Absolutely.
Okay, Senators, we've driven a great interest in this bill. Now I have Senators Nelson, Bonoff, Benson, and Zizek all want to talk. So I'm in that order.
I just have a brief comment, Mr. Chair and committee. Just noticing on page 19 of this packet what the state resource needs are. I noticed that's very similar to the state resource needs that were needed for the analytic technology for, like, smart buildings, which was done on a pay-for-performance piece. So maybe it's just something to further consider as you move forward, Senator Daley. Maybe don't throw out that exact concept yet. I think there, if, in fact, it's possible in this case, I think that's something we should really consider, is asking for them to be paid out of the recouped savings.
Will do.
Senator Bonham.
Yeah, just a quick question, really, Mr. Chair, Senator Daley, Senator Rust. Is it possible to do blank appropriation and then carry something in a finance bill? Because my concern, if you do up to, is then if it's in session law, a vendor may see that, and so that still sends a signal of how much they can possibly get. But
there's no blank.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Senator Benson.
Okay, and Mr. Chair, it was really to this point. Senator Daley can manage this offline. It has to go before another committee yet, and we do have timelines we need to meet here. But
yeah, and to that point, this clearly has to go through the full state gov, and obviously, not because it affects spending, appropriates money, has to go through finance. So we've got a couple of committees and some time for the senator to work out any language concerns that we've brought up here. Senator Rest.
Just noting, however, that he does have the time, because I just checked, and the bill has met the first deadline in the House, and it is sitting in the Ways and Means Committee. So
that's good.
Good. So that's good.
Senator Zizek?
This gets back to, is this a, when we do the RFP, is it low bid or is it best value? Or, and so there is some competitiveness for them to get the low bid if it's low bid. I don't know if anybody knows that.
Sounds like a question for the department.
Mr. Chair, members, Matt Bailey, Assistant Commissioner of Administration. I don't know that we've determined a specific contracting method here, but I can speak to how the NASAC contract works in other states. And generally, because this is a publicly bid nonprofit contract, the state would have the option of using their contract vehicle, not doing a separate bid for it, and the pricing likely would apply. That's pretty consistent across states.
Thank you. Okay, members, any further discussion on the version of the A5 amendment that Senator Daley has moved? If not, Senator Daley renews his motion that we adopt the aforementioned version of the A5 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The amendment is adopted. Senator Daley, we now have Senate File 933 as amended before us. Would you like to move that this be recommended to pass and sent to the State Government Committee?
I move that this be Senate File 933 be approved as amended and sent to the State Gov.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The bill is passed and will be sent to the full committee.
Thank you, everyone. Daley. I appreciate your help.
There being no other business before the committee, we are adjourned.
Thank you.